Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Now, at this stage, we might just mute that. So next week, Saturday, there's a program with Maharaj in Tarnit. Not that I'm trying to advertise it, but so I won't be here next week. So, you know, it'll be the following week that we meet again. Yeah. Which Bhaktisiddhanta says what it calls disappearance state. Alright, so just bear that in mind. So that gives you sort of 2 weeks to you know, if you can, when you come back in 2 weeks' time, if everyone can have, you know, as close as you can to your finished copy, and I'll have a look at each and every one of them, and then we'll just make some final editing things and try and complete it in that session. All right. You won't be here. Oh yeah, you'll be in India. Yeah. So, if you get a computer.
Yeah, I'll pick
it. You can email one. You can send it by it, but yeah, if you get it.
Yeah.
And I'll have a look at it and make some notes and send it back in the spare time. Or you're sitting on the bank of the Ganges. Where are you going?
Mayapur.
Mayapur. So we just had a quick look. Nirmala just gave some nice examples from her essay. And I had a quick look at Baylou's. But I won't be here next week, following week, if everyone can, you know, bring it as close as you can to a finished draft.
Last one you discussed?
Yeah, Unit 23 essay. Mm-hmm. Have you done something?
I framed it.
Yeah.
But I need to work.
Yeah, that's fine. So
that
gives us 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And then when you bring that along, I'll just have a look at everything and then, mm-hmm. you know, just make a couple of final little notes and should be able to finish that off. In the meantime, what I want to do is have a look at the other thing that we need to do to really finish before I guess we go back over other essays and things is to work out to do a presentation. Now, I gave everyone a copy, and what we'll do in this session is we'll work on that, so get an idea exactly. Like we did previously, just brainstorm a little bit, put some things down on the board as to the sort of things that you can put in that presentation. So you'll all do an individual presentation. Now, so you've got those sheets with you.
The presentation
Yeah. So when you do the presentation, the other students who are present, of course not everyone may be here, you know, due to this time of the year, but you know, I'll try and have at least you know, four or five others, a consistent number who you know, at least four others. Students or mark the individual presenter plus mine, and so you get 40% from the mean of the peer assessment and 60% from myself, the facilitator. So we'll try and, you know, at least we have four, possibly five others, that would be good. And
that breakdown is not good because it's 35%
understanding. What's that? Here you go. So you'll only need to, you know, 5 or 10 minutes really to do the presentation, and you're discussing, as it mentions, in the student handbook. Let's see what does it say. You know, the unit is entitled The Qualities of a Bhakti Vaibhava. Same topic, which is you are presenting the qualities of a bhakti vaibhava. In other words, your personal gain from becoming a bhakti vaibhava, and also, you know, how it enhances both the ISKCON and community, you know, the many different aspects from it. If we look at these criteria that you want to put into your presentation, understanding. Now, it's saying here, accurately present an outline of a particular theme, this theme of qualities of Bhakti Vaibhava, and now where it says it should be basically from cantos 1 to 6. It says 3 to 6 here, but it should be from, you know, change as 1 to 6. Clearly explained in some depth, philosophical points and subtle nuances of meaning from the selected topic. Resolve any apparent contradictions which may be found. Identify particular Sanskrit words, phrases from the selected text related to the related to the philosophical point presented. Now, we'll go through this whole thing and then we'll look at it, what you're actually looking for, in a little bit more detail. So, you know, what you're trying to derive from the Bhagavatam, this understanding, the aim of Shastric aim of the systematic Shastric aim of understanding is to deepen students' understanding of the Krishna consciousness theology, particularly through studying it from a wide range of perspectives and through developing thoughtfulness and introspection. So, we'll come back to that. But as you see, the qualities of a Bhakti Vaibhava student should be, you know, is actually stated in that. You know, that the qualities that you're looking for are stated here. That, you know, by becoming a Bhakti Vaibhava student, should have widened your perspective. You know, deeper understanding, of the philosophy, the teachings, having that, you know, wider range of perspective, you know, allows the student to have a very broad-minded, complete, you know, in other words, understanding. A student should have a much more complete, broad-minded understanding. Someone who may have had a casual look at some parts of the Bhagavatam, the first six cantos, they may have one or two quotes which give a certain perspective. You know, if you take Chattamasya, sometimes there are statements regarding Chattamasya where Chattamasya is presented as to how the karma khandhas follow such practices, you know, for material gains. But a broader perspective is that, you know, yes, certain things, it may be followed by the karma khandhas, but devotees may also follow chattamasya for spiritual gains. In doing so, they maybe choose those activities which are more pleasing to Krishna rather than to try and please the demigods or what have you. So, different quotes are given in different parts of the Bhagavatam about the same subject matter. A Bhakti Vaibhava student is aware of all those quotes. So they have a deeper understanding of the various perspectives. They have a much broader understanding. So this is that's one of the qualities. So what are the qualities of a Bhakti Vaibhava? That's one of them there. That broader understanding, a wide perspective. We just started to look at what you want to include in your individual presentation. So that's one. So you might give an example of that, you know, how something maybe, as I do with Chattamasya, you know, or it just may be broadly present within your presentation, that you're not quoting something, say, with a putting too much emphasis on one aspect of a topic, which may present it a little bit out of perspective, you know. So in your whole presentation, you know, understanding is there. The easiest way for me to market and for others to market, if you actually clearly, you know, present that topic, you know, of understanding as a quality and give an example. Very easy to mark that. Otherwise, we have to sort of look at the whole presentation and see where the understanding is there. That's generally there. That will be done. But it should be more clear also in just one component of, you know, your presentation.
What's the material
gain of Chaturmasi? Go to the moon planet. Yeah.
So we're following one year, is it? Every year.
Oh, if you do it once properly, that might get you there. So, you know, we'll just go through it quickly now, and then we'll try and expand. Maybe we'll try and grab some examples from the Bhagavatam and put them up and just get some ideas flowing. Academic integrity. And that is selecting material from the topic and explain how it could be misused. So if we look at that,
you came and talk about that human organization that can be misused.
What's that?
But women being selfish.
That's right, you know, that is probably a good example for academic integrity. It can be. Now, the definition of that, and of course, you know, there are 12 systematic aims, and all of those aims develop certain skills and qualities. You know, for the sake of our presentation, we're just going to highlight these ones, which mostly we've highlighted these ones. They're quite important amongst them. Understanding, academic integrity, mood and mission, preaching application, personal application, you know. So we usually just stick to those ones as the main ones we need to focus on. and as far as the qualities of a Bhakti Vaidhava. So, I mean, you can go to some of the other ones, but considering you're being marked on these ones, you're probably better to just stick to these. So if we look at the... To ensure that devotees develop moral and academic integrity in the interpretation, evaluation and application of Sanskrit knowledge. So, and of course, you know, you can just take one topic. You know, you can just take, you know, the topic of, you know, the statements about Srila Prabhupada about, you know, the role of men and women or the characteristics of men and women, and actually, you know, continue that presentation on that one topic and show, you know, the proper understanding of it and academic integrity, presenting it, you know, showing how it, you know, can be misused, and and you know, a way that it should be presented with more integrity and application. And mood and mission. That is to facilitate devotees in understanding and appreciating the mood and mission of Srila Prabhupada and perpetuating the understanding within the society and its members. So again, if you would you may find it easy to, you know, one way to make this presentation is to choose one topic in which you show how being a Bhakti Vaibhava student allows you to develop these proper characteristics and qualities, right? And then you present that. You know, I may, you know, but through this, you know, this better understanding, broader understanding is here. A more, you know, there's more academic integrity rather than the danger of doing this. A greater understanding of Prabhupada's mood and mission. You know, Prabhupada, his mood was that... In other societies, they restrict very, you know, sometimes absolutely and sometimes too rigidly for Kali Yuga, that the mingling of men and women, so the Prabhupada's mood is that, you know, they're equal and that they, you know, mix and have equal rights, and that this is very, he found that that was very, a successful formula for his mission of, you know, expanding Krishna consciousness and making it available to everyone like that. So, you know, taking one example, and then preaching application. So, friends, well, let's get back to mood and mission. You know, understanding, appreciating the mood and mission of Srila Prabhupada. So, again, you may have an example that you're showing how. It's very important, you know, you've appreciated how understanding of something, our understanding is complete when we understand it according to Prabhupada's mood and mission. So in other words, if we had an understanding of the role of women and men in the various ashrams and varnas according to Hinduism, that would be inappropriate. Or even if we had this Shastric understanding of men and women which is very strict statements about not mingling, even in the ashrams and what have you. And that was devoid of Prabhupada's mood and mission. Again, we would be a deficient. It's only when Prabhupada's mood and mission is tied in with our understanding and application of that philosophy, will we get the proper academic integrity and proper understanding. Because Prabhupada's mood and mission, of course, is has the same understanding as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So if we're understanding things according to Lord Chaitanya's perspective of how things should be presented in Kali Yuga, we're understanding things properly. If we're understanding things how things should be understood in the time of Maharaj Yudhisthira and Krishna's appearance, we're not understanding things properly. So Prabhupada's mood and mission is...
I was just trying to explain about it. Mixing Prabhu's actually what the Srila Prabhupada Guru mission was to mix with in relation to the Krishna's work.
Yeah.
Not mixing for social or something. He didn't mean it that way. We have to take it very clearly.
Yeah.
It's for Krishna's work mixing.
Yeah.
Otherwise, one has to be, ashram has to be separated.
Mm.
It's not free mixing, should not be taken in a loose way.
That's right. Prabhupada says
yeah.
in the purport that, to mix on the bodily platform is very dangerous, but to mix on the spiritual platform, seeing each other as a spirit soul, helping each other in the service of Krishna is wanted. Yeah. So that mood is very distinctive to Srila Prabhupada. And part of his mission also to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world would not be achieved without that principle of allowing the men and women to mingle. More so, not on the bodily platform, but for spiritual purposes, more so than has ever been done in the history of spiritual. Crucial element of spreading, his mission being successful, and it's a crucial element of his mood.
That's why he wants to raise the platform before we mix him. We have the rules and regulations. So an ordinary person is the mixer, and then he had set up the rules and regulations
yeah.
to raise, and then on the spiritual level, you can not.
And part of Prabhupada's mission is to help us help men and women to actually associate on the spiritual platform. That's part of his mission. And ISKCON facilitates that. Just like in a family when, a couple get married, actually, the parents and the uncles and the aunties, they're facilitating that couple mixing, from before the marriage to after the marriage. They're actually facilitating the proper way that the husband associates with the woman associates with the husband, like that. And the family facilitate that. Without the family support, things may go wrong. So ISKCON is like that, it gives the facility. Otherwise, how will anyone learn? So it actually, part of the mission is to allow men and women to mix, but on the spiritual platform. So it's part of the mission, and it's also crucial to the mission being successful. And it's also part of Prabhupada's mood of making Krishna consciousness available to any spirit soul who's interested in Krishna consciousness without... material qualifications. So then, preaching application, we've touched on that a little bit, but to enhance the devotee's desire and ability to preach effectively. So again, you know, a Bhakti Vaibhava is a very capable and effective preacher. So the qualities are there within these statements. You know, what are the qualities of the Bhakti Vaibhava? They're there within the statements. And then, you know, we want you to sort of either through one example which you use throughout your whole presentation, or you can use different examples. So again, you know, even on the same point as we're using for an example, which I don't mind people doing in their presentation. So as long as everyone has to, you know, you can choose whatever topic you want. You can choose the same topic because, you know, everyone will do their own presentation on it anyway, so it doesn't matter. But preaching, to enhance devotees' desire and ability to preach effectively. A Bhakti Vaibhava student should be able to, should be very capable to present even very difficult or somewhat, you know, hot or controversial topics of the Bhagavatam, you know, in certain parts of the world or society. Bhakti Vaibhava should be able to, you know, have that capability to present that, you know, in an effective way. Present it, they can, you know, present it to the audience in a very capable way. They're handling something which could go wrong. You know, you start talking about, you know, different statements about women in certain audiences, and people get very angry. You know, people can reject the devotee, everything they say, reject all of ISKCON, you know, like that, very, very quickly. So, you know, some topics of the Bhagavatam very difficult to present, to preach on those topics. But you'd expect that a Bhakti Vaibhava is very capable, even with those difficult. And capable means that, you know, they have the desired effect, which the desired effect, of course, is that people become attracted to the philosophy. You know, people, you know, gain faith and open-mindedness in topics which ordinarily they may, you know, rebel against. So that is the quality of the Bhakti Vaibhava. And that's why I think I mentioned some time ago that, you know, sometimes there are different things that come up on the internet. You know, some devotees like to throw a little comment in and stir up a bit of a hornet's nest. But you wouldn't expect that from a Bhakti Vaibhava. You know, they would immediately perceive that, you know, the tuppence worth in that scenario is not going, is not a very expert way to preach, and it can be very, you know, it has a disastrous effect rather than a positive one. So you don't expect that from someone who's actually getting the qualities of properly from Bhakti Vaibhava. Personal application, and that is, you know, more clearly defined as to help students apply the Krishna consciousness theology with reference to their external practices, their inner development, and to help them develop appropriate Vaishnava qualities and behaviour. So as Srila Prabhupada would say, that example is better than precept. So apart from being an effective preacher with a good understanding of the philosophy and enhanced with a proper understanding of Prabhupada's mood and mission, and therefore, you know, proper academic integrity. Here, what we see is that you know, within the bhakti vaibhava, there is a change of heart and a purification of one's qualities and behavior. And as we see with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's statement to Haridas Thakur, that, you know, he not only preaches very expertly, but his behaviour is also very exemplary. So that's a mark of it. A very mature devotee, you know, both in their preaching and their personal qualities and behaviour, are both on a very high level. And so these are the they're the qualities. So, you know, it asks for the, it says the qualities of a bhakti vaibhava. You could say that the qualities and skills of a bhakti vaibhava are more appropriate. So maybe as a, let's run through and let's take another example. Or we can take that one, since we're on that subject. Let's take that example of the topic, you know, some of the Prabhupada's topics about women in ISKCON, which would really test someone's maturity and understanding the Bhakti Bhagavatam, the Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, their qualities. Thank you. guess if we take the example of Krishna consciousness understanding of men and women, general and also within the world at large, understanding that correctly is beside the third of the whole presentation. So if you have a topic, as we said, understanding means that you are showing basically you can identify part of that is that you want to show that you can identify some key Shastric references. Can be from Gita and other, as we quoted the other day from Bhagavad Gita, it was crucial to our understanding. Chapter 8, teaching the 5, I think it was. Our consciousness determines the body that we take. There's the further understanding that in 13, 20 or 22. Yeah, so 1322, the living entity, he described as Purusha. Thus follows the ways of life enjoying the three modes of nature. So every living entity is described as male in the sense that, although they're Prakriti, in the sense that they're the female, they're the energy of the energetic, the Lord, but their mentality is that I'm the enjoyer, the controller, the predominator. Every living entity is like that. So whether men or women, they all share that Purusha Prakriti nature. And the living entity in material nature thus follows the ways of life, enjoying the three modes of nature. This is due to his association with that material nature. Thus he meets with good and evil amongst various species. So according to their particular mentality of enjoyment and the particular level of self-centeredness within that enjoying nature, they will take birth as man, woman, different species, like that, all of that. So, these things, identifying particular Shastric references, and of course, part of this, bear in mind that with those Shastric references, if you are presenting a nice, proper, well-rounded presentation of something, that's good. If someone is quoting Shastra in order to present a narrow-minded, slightly warped perspective, then they may lose a few marks in the academic and moral integrity account. So they're the sort of mark generally for your whole presentation, but at the same time it's sort of a little easier to identify these particular qualities and skills of the Bhagavad-gita at certain points of your presentation as well. So some sastric references that give a broad perspective. And in presenting that, a broad perspective gives one the quality of having the academic and moral integrity. Without a broad perspective, it's very easy to lose that in mind. Broad perspective versus misuse.
Shastric references. There are so many shastras and references. How do you boil it down to the particular? One can choose Bhagavad Gita, one can choose Srimad Bhagavatam or Nectar of Instruction.
Well, it really comes down to this is where the key thing here is there's an understanding. It's a broad understanding. There's a broad perspective, but a deep and broad understanding. That has to be there. You can't have a broad perspective without a broad understanding. If someone has a deep and broad understanding, that means that person knows what are the main quotes, the main understandings to be presented. As I said in the very beginning, even when we're doing Bhakti Shastri, and we had some students who probably didn't like my answer, but they would say that you can someone ask you a question, and as many devotees as there are, there'll be that many answers of that. And of course, some of them may have gone to another class. But, what I noticed with Prabhupada's preaching and his lectures is that he always, without fail, made sure that you understood the main thing that needs to be understood. Just like, he'll often say, this word is very significant in this text. And he'll say that because, the main understanding is where this word is. Okay. So he'll explain that most of his purport, but sometimes his whole purport, you understand that, okay, you've understood the main thing. Okay. If you're discussing the difference between matter and spirit, there's a lot of things you can talk about, the nature of the material body, sometimes, it gets calmer, and the material body. grows old, some of these things. What you say is the main thing you really want to tell someone about, the difference between the material body and the spiritual body. What is the main thing? It's temporary. So the question says the same thing. Right? One of the main things is temporary. If you talk about so many different things and leave that point out, it's a real major omission. One of the main things, talking about a spiritual body, they have different coloured dresses, and some of them gophers and some of them peacocks. What is the main thing, you first tell someone about a spiritual body? It's a term. If you left that out and go into all this other detail, you're really doing someone who... So, this is what I'm saying. A proper understanding means that you should understand the main things. And if you can understand the main things, you shouldn't have trouble getting some, the proper Sanskrit references. There may be several main things that need to be done, and therefore you get a broad perspective. Broad perspective doesn't mean that you can talk for 2 hours upon a subject without touching on the main things. And the tendency for devotees to give classes or to speak on subject matters, or someone comes up and asks them a question, and they talk for hours and hours, and the main thing they never mention is complete nonsense. You wouldn't do that to children. You wouldn't do it to children, you don't do it to your husband or your wife, you wouldn't do it as a teacher, but as a devotee, it's okay. It's inappropriate. So, to identify correct Shastric reference is part of, you can actually perceive when a devotee has a understanding, a deep understanding, and that means that devotee knows the main things, and the other things that are connected to that, and therefore the quoting of Shastra is very appropriate. They're not quite, just like one time Prabhupada was walking with Hridayananda Maharaj. Sure, he was the son of Sri Dasaj. Prabhupada was, doing the morning walk. Prabhupada would say something, and Maharaj would quote a shastra. And then Prabhupada would say something, Maharaj would quote a shastra. And one time, Prabhupada turned, he quoted a shastra, Prabhupada turned, and he said, "There are many shastra quotes." It's like, what are you doing? You can quote Shastra, you can give me 100 quotes. What does it mean? I don't want it. Don't do that. There's so many Shastra quotes. We don't, devotees sometimes, the mark of the class is how many slokas they quote. We don't want that. We want an understanding of the main things that need to be presented. And they quote those Shastric references which present those important aspects. That if there are significant things that are tied in with that, because of that section in the Bhagavad Gita, or because of some of the questions, they can also quote that. And that's the broad perspective of that. Okay? That's the proper understanding. Understanding is different from knowledge. Knowledge means, yes, I can quote so much Shastra, and I can remember so many things from the Bible at times, just keep talking about it. That's knowledge. Understanding is different. That I know what to talk about, the main things that should be talked about, and I can quote, therefore the main shastras, I can identify them. And if people challenge that because they have a different perspective, you can put it into proper context for them. That's understanding. Someone says, I've heard this from the Bhagavad Gita. And then you put it into context. Oh, I see. That's a subordinate thing to the main thing. Not that it's the main thing. So this is, understanding is different from knowledge. And we want that. And that is a quality of a Bhakti Prabhupada. They're well read, they're well studied, they've discussed these things many times. So naturally, that makes up 35%. And you know, there's 10% academic and moral intent. You can give a little example there how, you know, the difference between understanding and where the understanding is not there, then naturally the academic moral integrity will, you know, not be there. And you can perhaps give an example of that and how having this proper understanding, you could, you know, protects both yourself and society from such misuses.
Possible that a bhakti level student has developed understandings, but you know that is still jnana, but vijnana is actually realization and actually applying that into life.
Yes, definitely, because you know, in the first canto, Srila Prabhupada describes preaching or realization. As the ability to present the philosophy appropriately according to the time, place, and circumstance of the time, place, and candidate. He calls that realization. Okay. See, so that comes into preaching.
Okay.
So, and I'll just write that there. It is part of the realization, preaching. That's probably the measure of realization. Because if something is thoroughly understood,
the ability to present.
To present, you know, let's say the philosophy.
Yeah, but what's that word?
According to time, place, and candidate, or time, place, and circumstance. You know, sometimes he says candidate, sometimes he says circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you're presenting it for a particular candidate,
yeah.
And yet the circumstances differ, and you may have to even vary how you're preaching. You're speaking to that candidate because circumstances are different. You may have sometimes someone asks a question, but there are other people in the environment that you may not be able to fully go into that answer. And as you see. You know, say if we were say if we had the topic of women, you know, the Shastri and Prabhupada's statements, on women. So there are many different quotes. What would you quote and what would you say if you were in an Indian temple? You know, you're in India. If you did the same class you did here in Melbourne. You know, or Melbourne. or, you know, an audience of women. Children, or an audience of devotees, or non-devotees, you know. In all of those circumstances, what are you going to present? Someone who thoroughly understands, you know, or has a very mature understanding of the philosophy of Krishna consciousness will be able to present this topic to any of those persons quite with, you know, in a very capable way and a very effective way. A person who has less realization means that they can, you know, quote certain things. When you're quoting something with less understanding, your ability to present reduces proportionately. You know, when you're citing the philosophy with less understanding of it, or less broader understanding, or less mature understanding, your ability to present it reduces proportionately. And and so, you know, that makes up, that preaching application makes up a quarter. And that's will be shown, you know, so it's one of the qualities of a Bhaktivedanta. And it's sort of shown you're presenting. You get in mark because you're identifying the qualities of a bhakti vaibhava, which is pretty easy because they sort of stay within notes. And you're being marked as you, give examples. And then mood and mission. As it describes here, that so in mood and mission, we want to have that insight.
What is Prabhupada's mood and mission?
And the importance of Prabhupada's mood. In other words, you know, the bhakti vaibhava they have the quality know, understanding that the above. And they have the skills to advance Prabhupada's mission. So, you know, if we were, again, if we were discussing, if you were using an example, so this is 15% there at the bar. That one piece.
What are the key words that distinguish between Shiva Prabhupada, Mood and Vishnu, to the gender statement? How do you pick up the words? It also needs a bit of experience.
Yeah, well,
sometimes it's quite just to pick up.
Well, quite often, Prabhupada will actually mention ISKCON.
that's one thing. Another thing, sometimes, you know...
Well, why don't we do that? After we've got these down, let's sort of skim through, perhaps, you know, if we looked at some of these chapters which discuss the topic of women, and maybe we'll just see if we can whip through just to quickly identify some of the things that may go into those different categories there as examples or part of that topic. So, I mean, generally, Prabhupada's mission, he might say that, you know, one people that he says that, you know, in other spiritual societies, you know, the meeting of men and women is prohibited, whereas we allow our men and women to mix, you know, in ISKCON. So, you know, what do we do in ISKCON? In ISKCON, Prabhupada's mood is to, you know, allow mingling and building of, you know, men and women on the spiritual platform. Not on, you know, the bodily platform. So, you know, that's one of Prabhupada's mood. And mission, you know, you might say that Krishna wants every member of ISKCON to teach the Bhagavad Gita. That's a mission statement. Prabhupada's mood as a char is different from any other char. And his mission. He wants everyone, every member, man and woman, please. Here, as far as, you know, again, a preaching application, we might say that when men and women preach Krishna consciousness, they enjoy a higher taste, which makes detached from sense-gratification. But, you know, there's a little mission. I want everyone to preach, and when they do, they become so joyful that they don't think about sense-gratification, they're just absorbed in the bliss of preaching.
Personal application.
Personal application, of course, in general, it means something that may be particularly relevant to you. So, you know, as a bhakti by Baba, you may have found it easier and you know, to associate between men and women, due to better understanding and better cooperation, and enjoying a higher taste. So it's easier to associate between men and women, and that the relationships are far more, say, respectful and friendly. Generally, when devotees come to the meeting, if they more of the brahmachari, brahmacharini role, you know, quite often if they're in the association of someone from the opposite sex, they can be very daunted by the task of associating, conversing, speaking, interacting, it can be very awkward. But as devotees progress in their Krishna consciousness, their ability to interact is very natural and it's pleasant. starts more mature. And even amongst the, amongst the non-devotees, I mean, you know, he's got in general, they should be quite proud of this fact. Generally in society, the ability for men and women to mix is very awkward. Quite often, when men and women are associating, if they're looking for a partner, then quite often they're associating with persons, of a particular age group, and they have sort of particular what are called pickup lines. The man says something, it's usually just a one-liner, just one sentence, and they usually get a one-line answer back from the woman, and from that, that means that yes, if they like if the women like that pickup line, so it's just usually one sentence, then they will think, okay, that's a good pickup line. I will begin to negotiate with you. Perhaps we'll spend some time tonight and like that. So then they come together and have sex life, and then they break up usually the next morning. But it's very, very simple and awkward and very stereotyped, a lot of the interaction. Generally without alcohol, carnies, use that term still, can't mix. Unless there's some intoxication or some alcohol, they'll sit there and they sort of freeze up, they can't. Because basically, a lot of their interactions, they're making conversation. The men are trying to hide the fact that they really just want to have sex life. And, the women are hiding the fact that, one, either they also just want sex life, or two, that they, want to, get this man to eventually, give them a wedding ring and to, settle down with them. But they don't want to scare the men off by letting them know that they're thinking in that way. So a lot of their conversations are they're saying things where what they really mean to talk about is really hidden. So, the conversations are quite awkward because they're really, I'm saying what you want to hear, you're saying what I want to hear, but at the same time I'm hiding my real intentions. So, it's very awkward. In ISKCON, generally, when men and women talk, it's like, can I use the ashram water and, did you cook that nice offering? It's like they're just saying what they actually mean about some service, can you assist me like this? There was a nice class. Can you help me, give class? They're actually talking about things that are just straightforward. And apart from, in the material world, people don't have a lot of interaction with their mothers. In India, in culture they still do. In the West, they don't talk to their mothers very much. The interaction between young girls and their fathers, hardly anything. So, when they associate with boys, even within their own family, they've had hardly any interaction with the opposite sex. Not from their fathers, not from their brothers. They've got brothers, their brothers quite often bully them, or what have you. So the opportunities actually to interact in ISKCON, when the temple is doing things properly, is quite significant and quite good compared to what is happening materially amongst the karmas. Mostly it's a matter of, you know, drinking enough intoxication that you can start speaking to each other and then gradually having some sex life. And if you like each other enough, then the next morning you might see each other again a few times. And after, you know, 10, 20 years of that, you realise that you're a lonely, you know, pathetic human being. You might want to settle down and see if someone will live with you, because now you're getting too old and people don't like you anymore. If you can find one person who will live with you, that'd be good. So, you know, it's a whole different ballgame. So actually, you know, ISKCON has quite a lot of opportunities and, you know, ability to, you know, gradually allow men and women to interact and talk to each other on very, on all sorts of subject matters in quite a mature way. If they take advantage of it, and the temple and the zone is making proper facility. Prabhupada actually wants us, you know, if you look at Prabhupada, the videos of Prabhupada with his devotees, you know, in the early days, you know, it was very sweet, and the men and women, you know, the women had a lot of respect for Prabhupada, but, you know, but they also, their interaction with Srila Prabhupada and the other men, you know, was quite close. But, you know, they were literally, you know, living in very close quarters. You know, I mean, now a lot of devotees have their own homes. In the early days, the men and women just, you know, had very small quarters to sort of, you know, there was separation, but at the same time, it was quite, you know, close quarters sometimes, you know. And, you know, if they travelled with Prabhupada, it was out in the street every day, and, you know, just, you know, they were together, women in front quite often. But, yeah, so, you know, Prabhupada had a very nice mood, you know, going there, the men and women. You know, the women felt very empowered. And but still, because of a misunderstanding in the philosophy, some of the men, you know, who saw some of Prabhupada's statements in the Bhagavad Gita, and they may have had some chauvinistic or, you know, whatever mentality, they started to vent that on the women a little bit. You know, and you know, many problems have been, as Prabhupada says, you know, quite often the followers bungle everything. He's talking about, you know, like Christianity, the followers bungle it. You know, Jesus comes and starts something nice, and then the followers bungle it. Muhammad comes and starts, and then followers bungle it. You know, Buddha starts something like that. So, you know, quite often, you know, it's this misunderstanding or misapplication, you know, of Prabhupada's philosophy, which has, you know, created a lot of anomalies in our movement that weren't necessarily there when Prabhupada was there. But generally, men and women can interact quite nicely in a very mature way, and it's a great opportunity in this one, actually, that you won't find, you know, anywhere in the world, you know. The ability for men and women to interact outside of ISKCON is reducing day by day, but actually in ISKCON it should be increasing as the movement matures day by day. So, you know, that's a preaching application. You know, presenting something. You know, someone takes, you know, statements of Prabhupada in a negative way, but, you know, if you present it in a way that's very palatable.
Yeah. The other thing is also good, ISKCON gives us the ability to interact without the sense gratification bit coming in, whereas outside world it's just difficult, they can't interact at the same level because of the sensual thing coming in all the time. It's just difficult.
And, you know, That's right. It's the sense gratification is on everyone's mind, and yet they hide it. But if they reveal it, it causes problems anyway. And if someone says something, someone is thinking, is that some sexual connotation? You know, I've explained to my daughters, you know, that you know, they have to be very careful when, you know, if they're associating with me and they're just being friendly. Because right? if they're being friendly, they really have to almost be a little guarded from that, because if they're just being normally friendly and talking as they would, that men, you know, once they get to about teenage years, they'll take that, oh, she's coming on to me. And they take it in a whole. So, in fact, and you know, this is why we're also getting, you know, pedophilia and things like that, because men are reading that some teenager, you know, young girl or even a young child, oh, they're making advances for them. You know, strong is that nature for them to, you know, they're thinking in terms of sense of effect, oh, that's a sign, you know, they're always like that. So women have to be very careful of that nature, that tendency. So, and of course, you know, the other thing is that, you know, in ISKCON, we have standards of behaviour. So, for instance, say, you know, someone from the, you know, one of the male devotees was talking to the female devotee, and the male devotee actually thought, oh, she's coming on, like that. Still, because of the standards, the devotee might think, oh, okay, she's thinking like that, but they don't follow it up, they just go about the service. Because whereas for the non-devotees, there's no standard. The standard is that if somehow you get as much sense gratification as you can, you are lauded as a very great personality. So, you know, if there's an opportunity there that, well, this person's, you know, making advances, you know, I think, can I take some opportunity here? There's no question of right or wrong. You know, if they get sense gratification, they're considered to be really, you know, oh, this guy's really smart, he's really clever, or, you know, like that. So, you know, that's one thing that protects us in ISKCON, is that we have standards, and therefore sometimes, even if there is a little bit of flirtation or what have you, generally people don't go on with it, because they understand that, you know, there are, you know, responsibilities and standards. So that makes, you know, that gives, again, ISKCON a much more protective environment to associate. So, you know, that's preaching application, mood and mission. Yeah, well, let's put that under mood and mission, you know, or where we put it. Well, let's put that under personal application, because I started off on that point that, you know, it's, you know, the interaction you know, and we're saying for myself, you know, the person giving the talk, between men and women, you know, or myself and women, is more, say, natural. Easier. Safer. Appropriate.
So basically there's no ulterior motive. Like,
yeah.
They're more honest.
Yeah, and enjoyable. So that's right. So, you know, there's a personal application, something that's really relevant that's, you know, helped you in a personal way from understanding the philosophy, you know, of you know, the nature of men and women, and how they can interact on the spiritual platform, which is what Prabhupada wants, to preach Krishna consciousness. And when you do that, you know, it, that the higher joy from preaching makes one more detached, and you know, in general, you know, the society allows us better interactive environment for men and women to associate. So really, we're looking at, you know, just 5 or 10 minutes, presenting these qualities, and as you're saying what the qualities are, you may be presenting a topic or a few different points as you like, whatever you want, to sort of show, you know, how, you know, my understanding such topics as you know, this, that basically here you want to show that you want to highlight that your understanding has matured to where you have an understanding of, you know, the main understanding of you know, all different aspects of our philosophy, and and that you can identify, you know, the proper Shastric references that support those understandings, and that they can, you know, your understanding, now you're very, you know, you feel much safer that you're not misusing or misquoting. You could give an example of, you know, how that can be done and something that you don't do. And, you know, it's that understanding is coupled with, you know, the insight into Prabhupada's mood and mission and the importance of that. And that gives you the you know, ability to advance Prabhupada's mission with your understanding, which is basically to, you know, help everyone understand the teaching of Krishna. And by preaching Krishna consciousness, then you get the practical application of it working nicely, you know, between men and women, getting a higher taste, becoming, you know, detached from sense gratification and material motives, and us working in a very honest way with each other, and enjoying, you know, each other's company in a very you know, spiritual way, and advancing Prabhupada's movement. Therefore, you know, it's matured one's ability to associate between men and women, and you'd like everyone on this planet to share that opportunity. So that's an example of what you'll do within 5 or 10 minutes. So you don't have to go into too much detail, anything, you know, too many quotes, but, you know, just enough to give us that understanding. And as I said, I don't mind if you choose that topic there, or another one. I don't mind if everyone does that, because I'm sure they'll all do it differently, or even, you know.
You said the topic has to be qualities of a Bhakti
Vaibhava. The topic is the qualities of a Bhakti Vaibhava. And therefore, we're highlighting these qualities.
Yes.
Amongst the 12 aims,
yes,
there are many different qualities.
Uh-huh.
I want you to highlight that you understand the qualities, uh-huh, to have understanding, academic moral integrity, mood and mission, preaching application. You need certain qualities and skills.
Yes.
Let's say qualities and skills, not just qualities.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that, using an example, is that what you're saying? Like what you did just now?
That, yes, you can. You're presenting that as a Bhakti Vaibhava.
Mm-hmm.
These are the qualities that you've developed.
Mm-hmm.
and you can give one example that you carry right through, such as we did here, or you may give a couple of examples. For instance, understanding and academic and moral integrity are very closely related.
Yeah.
How to properly use the philosophy as to how to misuse it. So you could use one example that shows both sides of that. And then you apply it to how that understanding, the Bhaktivedanta, more so than just understanding the philosophy, but also to, you know, get that insight into Prabhupada's mood and mission, which is and that understanding of Prabhupada's mood, you know, is very, it adds a very, you're getting the realizations from, you know, a Nitya Siddha, or, you know, a perfected soul. So, you know, your understanding is in line, in tune with, you know, one of the greatest, you know, devotees of Krishna that ever come to, you know, this world. So, the understanding is there, but it's lined up with the particular mood and mission of the devotee Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, sent to give us the example and understanding of how to apply it and practice it. So it's a very unique understanding that we're getting this from. And that mood and mission of Prabhupada is another protection against misuse of shastra as well. And then preaching application first. So, you know, literally those three there come within that sort of proper understanding and application, understanding and proper context. Understanding and proper context. This, all of this, understanding academic, moral integrity, mood and mission, gives you a proper understanding and context of the philosophy for, you know, one, developing, practice and develop pure love of God up to the mood of the Vrajavasis. That's Prabhupada's mood and mission. Let's do devotion, but let's do it and develop that Vrajavati mood. So it's a very deep, rich understanding. But it's not just, let's just develop that Vrajavati mood, let's give it to everyone else. So, you know, this is Prabhupada's mood and mission is the central pillar of our understanding and having everything in its proper context and not, you know, improper context. So then we can do two things with that. One is we can then go out and preach, and we can apply it to ourselves. And the Bhaktivedanta has the ability, coupled with those three things, to do both. As you said, it means that you can practice yourself, and you can give some examples of some things which are, you know, relevant, a relevant example of how you're making use of this you know, that the, in other words, what are some of the things that you've incorporated as main parts of your life, your own personal practices, that you wouldn't be doing if you weren't a Bhakti Vandava? If you didn't have that mature understanding of the Bhagavatam, you know, there is some personal application of Krishna consciousness that you just may not be capable of doing or, you know, doing. And then, you know, what are some of the ways that, you know, you're presenting Krishna consciousness, you know, in a very capable and effective way as a Bhakti Vaibhava, but, you know, without the Bhakti Vaibhava training, you may not be able to, you know, have that same ability or effectiveness. So there's sort of two parts, there's two parts in one sense. There's that understanding based around Prabhupada's central inspiration, and then applying it to yourself and applying it to others. And how the Bhakti Vaibhava has enhanced that. What are the qualities, the skills that you, you know, feel that are there through the Bhakti Vaibhava that wouldn't be there? So in other words, let's say you did it like this. Say someone comes up and says, oh, you know, you spent so much time, you did the Bhakti Vaibhava, what a waste of time, you could have been doing some of the other things, you know, like that. So then you say, no, you know, these are, you know, before it was like this, now it's like this. That's what you're presenting. As if you were selling it to someone. One of the devotees come up and says, oh, someone said I should do the Bhakti Vaibhava, but, you know, I just read the book every now and then. A lot of hard work. Nothing. What's the benefit? You could start an essay like that. If someone were to ask me, you know, before the Bhakti Vaibhava, and now I've finished the Bhakti Vaibhava, what has it done for me as a devotee? I would answer like this. These are the qualities. Let me give you an example. So that's the sort of thing you present. Alright, so as I said, I won't be here next week because I'm just doing the program and wanted to do something there. But when we come back in 2 weeks, there's two things, you know, there's the essay, so keep working on that, and keep working on this, and everyone, you know, I'm quite happy to, you know, look at everyone's individually and just see what you've done. If you want, while I'm sort of looking just quickly at the essays, unless you think that you're quite happy and they're finished, or the presentations, you know, some of the, you can work in groups just while I'm going around and just help each other to find different quotes. Just, you know, you might say, oh, you know, I want to say this, but I'm trying to find the right quote. And, you know, so you can sort of work in groups and just help each other a little bit, so we can just go over it, and then perhaps the following week, you know, we can submit the essays and then do the presentations. That's all done.
Presentation is so early.
Yeah, but you only have to do, you know, even 5 minutes, you know. Even, you know, say, don't, if you can do a 5-minute presentation, that's acceptable. If you want to do 10, to try to do 15. 5 to 10 is fine, that's all. So that's not a long time. 5 minutes. You give classes? By the time you set all your invocations and the driver out of motor, that's, you know, 3 times, that's 5 minutes. All right, any questions? So, once again, you know, the good thing is that this topic here, which seems to baffle a lot of devotees in ISKCON, we've got the opportunity over 3 or 4 weeks, you know, to really look at it again and again, and you know, to see it in very broadly and deeply, which is very helpful. And as you can see, as an example, we spent, you know, probably about 3 or 4 weeks discussing, you know, topics related to, you know, both the verses and, you know, could be even more, and you know, and then the essays and the presentation on this topic of men and women, you know, their qualities and, you know, within and without of ISKCON and their roles. It gives you a much better, it makes you better qualified to discuss this with anyone than someone who just read a statement to a Prabhupada in a certain section of the book they happen to have read, wouldn't it? Yeah. And unfortunately, there are a lot of devotees wandering around ISKCON who have read one or two things, and quite often something that strikes them the most strongly is the quote that they'll use. So whenever the topic comes up about this issue, there's a lot of devotees straight away, oh, there's this, you know, well, Prabhupada says this. It's almost like they like to give someone a little shock. Or, you know, they've got the most shocking, well, Prabhupada said this. Oh, yeah, well, I can top that, well, Prabhupada said this. No! What about, well, Prabhupada said this. It's like there's some, you know, we don't. So, when you go through something, you discuss it from many angles of vision, you've definitely got to have some better qualities and skills than others who don't. And that's what we want to present in our essays. All right, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much. I've seen it. Oh, it's a little bit of time.